You're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Yo, what's up? This is RBLR Sun. My name is Liz. This is JD. He's special to the pod. I'm trying something new.
I'm awake. I'm here. Hello. Good morning. How are you?
How you doing? I'm good. We always do that.
Well, if you're going to yell at me, then I'm going to ask you how you're doing first.
Okay. I'm pretty good. I'm on week two of new job.
Nice. How's that going?
I'm so tired.
I feel that. I'm on week unknowable of new job, yeah. And I'm also very tired, but you know, it is what it is.
You know what would really bring me back to life? Some actual Sun news.
We don't have any.
None. Not a drop. Not a drip.
Thank you for watching.
Yep.
This has been RBLR.
This has been RBLR Sun. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Just kidding. Because we are... I literally just described it as this. We can do some world building. We can do filler episodes. There's lore around our team, around our league, and around our sport, the women's version of it, that we can fill you in on and inform you about. Liz, right off the bat, probably the biggest lore in soccer. Possible, actually.
Spain won the World Cup.
By far the best team the whole tournament.
Yeah.
No robberies.
And it is the first time that the same country holds the men's and women's World Cup titles. So Spain won the last women's World Cup as well. They were absolutely dominant. It was kind of crazy how good they were, and I am incredibly looking forward to seeing them defend their title.
Yeah, I think that is going to be really interesting, especially now that it's, if they win this next World Cup, then Spain keeps both for 4 years. Like, them overlapping right now is just 1 year until the Women's World Cup, but like, if they win this next Women's World Cup, but I think USA at all are going to have something to say about it too. Although Spain looks formidable. They look really good. But hopefully we get a good tournament out of it, which I wasn't even intentional segue, but that is my first report for you guys here. Some off-season content, but still related to the Sun. I am going to let you guys know how we may possibly be able to see Sun players play in the World Cup. We had Sydney Schneider play for us. First of all, our league has only existed since after the last Women's World Cup. So we've never had an opportunity to see a Sun player play in the World Cup. And there's also a year, another season, another off season until the World Cup is played. So it is possible we could sign players from lesser known soccer nations. I don't think we're going to get a USA cap. I'll just say that straight up. But we will sign players
technically
possibly
Liz Beardsley's a USA cap.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Well, you know, game time in the World Cup, I think, is the line that we probably will not cross. But it is possible for us to sign players from less prestigious nations. You see, Haiti brought like three Miami FC players to the Men's World Cup. It's possible. You can do it. So we have two players who were called up in their most recent window to their national teams in the most recent, in the current roster on the Sun. So that is Jordan Lisro for Canada and Erica Chipa for Croatia. So I'm going to walk you through how both of those teams who have not qualified yet to the World Cup can qualify, their path to get there. And I'll start with Canada. And then also, if you do not know how USA qualifies, it's through the same path. So I'm also going to tell you how USA qualifies if you're just a US soccer fan and we're curious and you maybe haven't paid attention to a Women's World Cup cycle yet. There's a lot of us that maybe just got into women's soccer because of the Sun, kind of. So first of all, Jordan Lisro has two caps game time for Canada, but they were a few years ago. The most recent was in 2021. She was called up in this spring, 2026, to attend a camp and did not get another cap, which is playing for the team in a game. So she just did the camp with the team. And so my opinion is that it's unlikely that she would get called up for the World Cup. She was like fifth string or sixth string in a 3 or 4 deep midfield they have in Canada. But it's possible. She's definitely in. For a while, she was out, actually. They did not call her back. And then all of a sudden, she was called back. So it's totally possible she's on the radar. Maybe she has a breakout fall and spring, and Canada just can't live without her. We don't know. But that's what we would hope for. She plays for us. That would be amazing. But here's how Canada can qualify and also the U.S. So the CONCACAF W Championship is a tournament that CONCACAF runs, and it will exclusively determine what CONCACAF teams qualify to the World Cup. 8 teams have qualified for the championship, and the top 4, the semifinalists, will qualify to the World Cup. So there's no table, there's no qualification matches. It's literally you're going to play this tournament, and the results of this tournament determine who goes to the World Cup. The 8 teams that are in it are the U.S., Canada, El Salvador, Haiti, Panama, Costa Rica, Jamaica, shout out Sydney Schneider, and Mexico. So those are the 8 teams, and the bracket has already been determined. It's just a straight knockout tournament. It's not any kind of league rotation, whatever. The bracket has already been determined by FIFA ranking and a qualification round. So the U.S. was the first seed, the highest FIFA ranking. Canada was the second seed, the second highest FIFA rating. And then from there, the other 6 teams played in and qualified into it. To make it to the World Cup, you have to win 1 game in this tournament. Again, there's only 8 teams and 4 make it. So the U.S. has to beat El Salvador on November 27th, and they're in the World Cup. Canada has to beat Panama the next day on November 28th, and they're in the World Cup. Simple as that. If they don't win, it's not over. They will compete in play-in matches to get the CONCACAF spots at the inter-confederation playoffs. So the best of the rest, people who barely didn't make it in their federation, they do a playoff, and those are how the last few teams qualify to both the men's and the women's World Cup. So even if they lose, it's not over for either team. But I will say, in both those matchups, they were the number 1 and 2 seed. They are heavily favored to just straight up win the first match and qualify straight in. Like I said, it is unlikely for Listro to be called up to play in these games, but anything can happen. She's on the radar of the team. She got a call up recently. So it's not impossible. And I actually thought of this. I wrote all these notes, and then I went back to it 2 hours later, and I was like, I should tell people how to watch. So you can watch the CONCACAF W Championship in late November on CBS Sports Network or Paramount Plus. I assume, depending on the game, you got to imagine US and Canada might be on the TV channel, CBS Sports Network, and maybe the other games will be on Paramount Plus. That is how the US and Canada can qualify to the World Cup. And you go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to make a joke, because we made the silly joke in the RBLR chat today. And so everyone watches women's sports at a negotiated time frame, depending on the streaming platform.
Yes. Yes. Based on the direction of the wind, you can catch NWSL on one of 10 different services per day of the week, and wind direction and precipitation chance.
I remember one time all the games were on ION that day, and I just sat there and I never touched the remote. It was beautiful.
They should schedule more. This is a WNBA issue, not to drag this off topic like crazy, but WNBA is really bad at having games at the same time and also having days with no games and then days where every team plays. And it's you could have just spread it out. You could, with all of the TV deals that they have, you could literally make it so the entire league never plays at the same time. It's coast to coast, so you have 4 time zones to work with. A game, you could have a 2-hour separation and have each time zone, and then just stop having complete days off for the whole league. Have some teams travel while other teams are playing. I don't understand WNBA scheduling. Anyways, that's my tiny rant and a rant. So I think our more likely chance of seeing an active Sun player at the Women's World Cup, unless we sign a national team mainstay, is Erica Chippa with Croatia. She just got called up for the first time to her national team, but she started in a very competitive game that I will give you the context about in a moment. So she, when she's young, no offense to Jordan Listro, she's not an upcoming prospect. She is, we know what she's got. We've followed her career. So Erica Chippa is an unknown quantity. again, if she has a breakout season, I think Croatia is much more likely to not be able to do without her at the World Cup. They would definitely be calling her up if this fall she pops off, which again would be excellent for us. So in UEFA, that's European Confederation, they have a two-stage qualifying system. So they have a group stage because they have so many nations and everyone in Europe plays women's soccer. It's amazing. So they have a group stage with league play. That's every team plays every team home and away. And then they have a playoff. Croatia was placed in League C. So these are the lowest of the three. There's three leagues. They were in the lowest league. Croatia did not win their group, but they had the most points of any second place team, which is UEFA's own last chance qualifier. They qualified as the second to bottom team into the playoff stage. So pretty impressive, I would say, because there's just a lot of teams in there. It's hard. And in League C, only the top team qualifies or best of the rest. In League A, every single team in the group qualifies, even if you don't win a single game. You still qualify to the playoff stage. I think that's kind of silly. Yeah, I think if you're a loser, you should be eliminated. Like,
yeah.
But even the bottom team is like, it literally says like relegated to Group B or whatever. And then next to it's like qualified for playoffs. And I'm like, how are you relegated and qualifying at the same time? So Group C is the gauntlet. Or you know, this is, Croatia was in the group that like you have to win stuff. And they actually finished level on points with Kosovo. But it was... they had less goals scored across the other games. The games where both of those teams were smashing in tons of goals on the other teams that were bad. So Erika Chipa played, actually, against Kosovo, who eventually won the group. And Croatia won 1-0. But the thing I will note is that Erika was subbed off after 33 minutes, but the goal was scored at 16 minutes. So it's possible they took off an attacking option and they settled in a little bit more. Maybe they put her out there to try and bring some... you know, fire, speed, unexpectedness. It was her first ever appearance. Maybe they were trying to catch Kosovo off guard. And then once they got the goal, she was not involved in the goal. But once they got it, you know, maybe they brought out just somebody who could manage the game better. But she got the cap. She started in a game. They definitely saw something in her that they wanted her out there. And she was on the bench for the entire final group game against Bulgaria, but they won 4-0. So she was never needed. You know, she might have been a late sub if they needed a goal. But it's hard to say if she's getting called up for the playoffs because I don't really have a chance to watch these games. If you are intimately familiar with Croatian women's football and are listening to this right now, if you can give us a breakdown of what you saw in Erika's performance, that would be great. I literally have no idea how to watch these games. So any insight anyone has would be cool. But what I was able to figure out is kind of what I've told you so far. So if she does get called up for playoffs, we would see her involved in a two-leg playoff series against Iceland on October 9th and October 13th. Iceland finished third in a group behind England and Spain. They only beat Ukraine in that group. And again, even though Ukraine got beat by everybody, they still qualified for the playoffs because it was League A. But yeah, Iceland finished third behind England and Spain. UEFA has Iceland ranked 18th out of their member nations and Croatia ranked 32nd. So definitely an uphill battle, but it would be cool to see them kind of upset in that game. And then if they win against Iceland, their final make it and you're in playoff match would be against the winner of Northern Ireland, Portugal. Northern Ireland being ranked 34th, so kind of in the same ballpark that Croatia is. And Portugal's ranked 6th. So if they beat the gauntlet of Iceland at 18th, it's seeming very likely that they might play the 6th ranked team in UEFA to try and get into the World Cup as the 32 ranked team. Extremely uphill. Anything can happen. I have no idea. We will see in mid-October. I could not find a broadcaster in the US that covers UEFA Women's World Cup qualifying. This is unlike in the CONCACAF, this is not like a dedicated tournament that's going to have a winner. It's just qualifying for the World Cup. That's all these games are for. So they don't have a broadcast partner. I think it's per country. I was reading a little bit about if you have a VPN and finding the right country in Europe, you might be able to use their public broadcasting partner for free. Some of the nations will broadcast the matches for free because it's their national team. That's a great idea. Somebody should do that here, anywhere, please. So that could be something to look into if you're interested in watching Croatia, especially if Erika Chipa gets called up. I will be trying to watch because any opportunity to see a sun shine That was really stupid. But yeah, any opportunity to see a son play for the national team at all, and then also in really, really meaningful games, would be very cool. So that is my son-related, technically son-related breakdown of World Cup qualifying in Europe and in North America. And hopefully we see our gals in there. That'd be very cool. And then also, like I said, we can leave the door open for possibly signing players who already are mainstays at their national teams, probably less notable teams though.
Yeah, it would be fun to see someone on the senior team, not to take away from him, anyone who's played and hasn't. Like, I've seen Braylon Gault a little bit on YouTube when she played for the Scottish, I think it was like the U19 team or something like that. So that was cool. Schneider never got a cap, unfortunately. I think I watched one of the Jamaica games, but I want to see a national team game with the Sunny.
Yeah, that'd be very cool. And I would love to find footage of Croatia's 30 minutes where Erica was on the field.
Yeah,
like, we'll see, because I think FootMob is doing the Super League thing where they like don't know what the formation actually is, because they had her at right back in that game, but then she's listed as an attacker, and we know with us that she's like a striker, so I don't know what she actually played. If she was playing right back, then I'm glad they took her off after 30 minutes. I don't know, but I'm not sure. So yes, there are some other Super League players though that are already qualified to the World Cup. So some qualification periods have happened, and there are teams. Well, Brazil is automatically qualified because they're hosting. Didn't know if you knew that. 2027 Women's World Cup hosted in Brazil exclusively on Netflix. We'll talk about that later. But there are Super League players that play for these national teams that have qualified already. So on Australia, Morgan Aquino just departed after 2 years at DC. But she has been called up in the past. It's possible she could get called up, although she has no caps currently. So I don't know. Maybe if she lands, because she just left DC, maybe she lands at a team that's a little bit more on the radar. Maybe if she ends up in Australia and she's playing against and with other national team players, they could put in a good word for her. And, you know, the World Cup is almost a year away, a little bit less than a year away. So the favor of these players, especially the young ones, definitely could go in their favor a little bit more in the next year. The Philippines have two players actually that played in the Super League. They had Carly Frills, who played for the DC Power, who plays for the DC Power currently, and Katrina Guillo. Yeah, well, you know, I did a lot of research here. I'm sorry about the pronunciation. She just departed the DC Power. So they were teammates at DC, and they have almost 100 caps between the two of them. But I will say that on the Philippine national team, they have mostly American college soccer players. These are the only two American pros. And I did not get a read on if the Filipina players that play in the Philippines are pro. I think they are in the Philippines League. So out of players who play in the United States, almost all of the rest of them are college players, which means, for one, they could sign in the Super League technically, but also that they just have a very young national team. And so I thought that was pretty interesting that they were teammates at DC last year, even though Katrina is leaving. South Korea has Shin Nae-young, who plays for Brooklyn FC. She has 9 caps, so that's pretty significant. Definitely could get called up. Another young player that seems to be towards the beginning of her national career. I feel like national teams generally have like older average ages than club teams. I feel like a lot of national teams rely on experience more than club teams like always want young, you know, upstarts. It's kind of interesting to think about. And then Argentina has Sofia Baran, who plays for Dallas Trinity and has 58 caps for Argentina. So another player that has been extremely involved and you would think would be called up for the World Cup next summer. So that is the full report. Those are the players that we know of so far that are going to be possibly playing in the World Cup next summer on the qualified teams. Croatia has a super uphill road to get there, and the US and Canada should win their first game and should qualify pretty easily in late November. There's your World Cup roundup. We're going to be so locked in. I'm probably going to know more about this Women's World Cup than I knew about the Men's World Cup. I didn't really follow national team men's soccer before this World Cup, and I'm the amount that I learned about UEFA today is unbelievable. So I'm definitely tapped in and excited. 338 days as of the time of recording until the Women's World Cup. So excited.
And there are a handful of players in the league for national teams who have not qualified yet. And as we do hear about those, I will absolutely make sure that those are in the notes and we let you know, because there's like Jennifer Cujo plays for Ghana. I don't know if Ghana will qualify, but entirely possible. She's with them right now, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was looking it up and I didn't realize I was going to put them all down. And I was like, oh, wait, he put qualified.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I felt like a silly Billy. But I was looking at her Instagram to see when she was there most recently. And I was like, oh, right now. Okay, cool. Good for her.
Yes, I think we will see a level of Super League representation. We will not be the dominant league at the World Cup. But I think there will be a number of teams that have Super League players, and that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, they play for other teams, so I still hate them. Just kidding. But, you know, I don't care as much.
Yeah, but if they start, cool, there's like a good 75% chance you'll hear Gainbridge Super League on national TV.
There was one World Cup game where the Rowdies got a shout out, and that felt electric. There was a men's game. I don't remember exactly really what the cool context was, but it might have been about a historic player. It might have been about the original era Rowdies, but there was definitely, I was watching a game and it was like Tampa Bay Rowdies. And I was like, no way, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I'm looking forward to that for the Sun. We'll see how that, whatever shape that comes in, if they say my team.
When Jordy's on starting for Canada.
Yes.
I'm speaking it. I'm screaming. Start the campaign it into now. Existence. Yes. Things that we don't know yet. We're calling this is the wild speculation corner, based on some info from Ryan in the comments, and also in the Heatwave Discord.
Yeah, I think let me clarify. Sorry, just how this comes up. I think Ryan follows every player, and then his Instagram algorithm recommends players that have a lot of mutual follows. Yeah. So this is like these are players that don't play for the Sun or like didn't play for USF but are following a lot of people that are with the Sun. And why would you have that many people that you're following if you weren't here theoretically? So that's where the speculation comes in. Or they've been seen, a couple of them have stories that they've been seen here in Tampa Bay as well, primarily the first one that you were about to say and then I interrupted you.
Yeah. Kelsey Daughtry was a goalkeeper on Brooklyn with our now signed Leah Scarpelli. I'm also about 99% sure they're dating. So it makes sense why she's here. I don't know if the Sun offered her anything or what she's doing, if she's just chilling down here because Florida's real cool right now. I don't know. It's cool though. And then their other teammate, Sam Kroger. was played with both of them. Was she seen in an Instagram post?
Yeah, today, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. That was our conversation that we had about Kroger coming back to Tampa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I made a fool of myself, yes.
But also you did their lesbian Stacy, Kelsey Daughtry, and Leah Scarpelli are teammates. And you're like, Sam Kroger was also their teammate. And it's like, no, she played on the team with them. Not,
yeah.
It wasn't a sportsmanship situation where they were teammates. They're actually girlfriends.
Wait, so have all these been spotted in Instagram?
Not all of them spotted on Instagram, but have been like, have a lot of mutuals with our current team as well.
Okay. So we have Reagan Rabe.
It might be Rabe.
Is it Rabby? I don't know. Okay. Well, it's R-A-A-B-E. Sorry. She's a winger. She signed with the Orlando Pride, but looks like she could be alone. I did see some. I feel like I saw something about her. Although Orlando needs a keeper. Well, Orlando needs a new coach. I saw some words today in the, I think I'm in the Orlando Pride subreddit still, just because like that was one of the first Reddits when the team was formed, like in 2016. I don't know, the NWSL one maybe not have been as active, or I didn't know about it, whatever. But I saw some people had some choice comments. Yeah, I think she's not signed with Orlando at the moment.
Really? Her last Instagram post was 3 weeks ago training with the team. So that's all I know. That's the extent of research that I did before this. But I mean, that's possible. Then she might not even be alone. She might just come.
Yeah. That would be interesting. Also, or, this next one is really interesting. Bella Jara, which was Fluted's former goalkeeper, would be an interesting pickup. I don't remember loving her, quite frankly, but Fluted's defense was so bad. They might have just been hanging her out to dry. And then Daria Raji, that would be a really fun pickup. I would be very happy about that. She's still in negotiations with Lexington, so not officially coming back yet. We don't know. Lexington is actually really, really cool. Their news article put out really specific details about everyone, which almost feels a little intrusive, but I'm here for it because it's helpful.
Yeah.
We do have a couple of new signings and news in the league. Brooklyn does live. They did sign a new coach, and then we heard nothing from them about anything. The first roster noise that we're hearing is that they have picked up midfielder center back Sophia Loewenberg on loan from Boston Legacy FC. So that is one of the two newest expansion teams in the NWSL, if you're not familiar. She has one appearance for Boston, so maybe she just doesn't quite fit into the roster. Maybe she just needs a little training. I know they did pick up a lot of really young players. Carolina has nothing announced, but Yuki is the world's worst secret keeper. and it looks like she is training with them, might be signed by them at some point. We don't know. We've seen her in the locker room and she's playing with the other players' dogs. So she's up there. They also have new kits and they're very cool. I like them a lot. I'm very excited for what our kits look like. I wish I knew what they look like.
I have nothing to say.
Yeah, I bet.
I don't really know what they look like either, to be fair.
You know what they look like more than I do.
Well, yeah. A graphic is not what the final product looks like.
Anyway. Jill Aguilera. I threw this into a couple of things. Jill Aguilera and Sid Martinez were called up for the Puerto Rican national team. They will be facing Mexico. Oh, they're playing Mexico. That's rough.
This is like a gauntlet, actually. All three games. It's kind of
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, all right. This is like nightmare blunt rotation in terms of opponents.
It's crazy to put Jamaica in a blunt rotation that's not positive. I don't know how you
but you know that. What I mean?
Yeah, but like
yeah, it is though. Yeah, you're right. So they're playing Mexico on July 29th, Jamaica on July 31st, and Colombia on August 1st. Holy crap. That is a lot in a very short amount of time. So I think when we get information on those, I'll probably end up watching those because it'll be cool. We might also see Ashlyn Puerta. I don't know if she was called up as well. Dallas has signed two players and confirmed the return of Chioma Ubagagu. She is a forward. She is a beast. I hope she is less good this season. I'm not going to wish something bad because I don't want anything bad to happen, but just be a little less good.
Yeah. I hope she achieves personal goals in, ultimately a bad season for the team.
Yeah. There we go. But they also signed Maddie Anderson. She is a goalkeeper. She came from RC Lens Féminine in France. And they also signed Drew Koonens, a defender. She came from Princeton. She started all 17 games for her last regular season. And she made first team All-Ivy and Ivy League Defensive Player of the Year. And I think it's really funny that the Ivy Leagues have their own little awards.
Their football is serious, so I can imagine those school rivalries are pretty tough. So I can imagine their women's soccer, although I haven't watched it, I imagine it's just as furious, you know?
Yeah. DC has been pretty quiet. All we found out is that they have signed a Sam Angel on loan from Chicago FC. I don't think she has any caps with them at the moment. Did I look that up? Absolutely not. That would have made far too much sense. She has 4 caps with them. I managed to look that up quickly. Good me. Good job, me. Okay. Fort Lauderdale has made some interesting pickups. They have actually signed Farrah Walters, which kind of sounds familiar because she has one whole appearance for us. I think she was injured when she came to us.
I think so. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
And then I'm not really sure what was going on with her in the roster that we didn't bring her back, but we signed her injured, question mark.
Nothing good happened with that roster in the second half of the year.
And they also signed Maggie Henschler, came from the Swedish league Damallsvenskan.
Oh, yeah. Well, you did actually way better with that than I thought. So
thank you. just trying my best. and Lexington, I guess, likes to outsource their keepers because they have signed Ryan Campbell on loan from Gotham. Very cool. If you remember, they had Kat Asman on loan from Orlando. Wouldn't be surprised if they were calling her back because they need her very badly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the only other thing around the league that we really picked up on this week was a friendly, because also I didn't even put it in the notes, but Jacksonville went to England for preseason. Well, the UK, because they're in Wales too, but I knew that it was happening. I think I saw a post about it and then I like didn't think about that, but like, is this the first international trip for a Super League team for like preseason?
No, Brooklyn went to Italy.
Okay. Oh yeah, I do remember that
at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jacksonville's a good team. They were the best, you know, team in the regular season last year. Well, except for a controversial penalty call at the end. But they are putting themselves in a interesting place, going to the UK and training, you know, warming up against teams who are also in preseason up there, because they're also running a winter schedule. That's kind of the whole point of the international schedule. Jacksonville getting it in right under the buzzer, the preseason that we switch off of it. So, but they played a game against Wrexham Women's, who are Wrexham Women's team is tuning up to play in the UEFA Champions League qualification rounds. So that is kind of a fun idea. Wrexham obviously is extremely notable on their men's side because they're owned by actors and they have a TV show and a lot of people have learned to love them. They're one of the most notable clubs in Wales now, not the best, but definitely one of them. I would say like top three now.
They're not even the best team in Wales.
Not in Wales. Swansea and Cardiff are in Wales. They're in the in the Championship though. But yeah, no, there are other teams in
not
Wales.
Me not knowing where anything is.
Yeah, there are other teams in Wales that play in England. And actually, I'll just skip ahead to the end of my notes and then I'll go back. I think Wrexham Women's long term goal may be to build up the business enough that they can compete in the English National League, which is the highest level of semi-pro, or WSL2, which is the second division pro. I mean, obviously any club's goal is like, oh, we want to play in the top division in the best league, which Welsh clubs historically, if they're good enough, will get permission from the Welsh FA to go play in England. So that's what Swansea and Cardiff do. So and I think at least one more, but I'm not an expert on Welsh football. But anyways, where they currently are is Wrexham just won the Welsh Women's First Division. And that is why they are playing in the Champions League qualification rounds. Welsh doesn't have that UEFA clout to get their teams, their winners automatically qualified into the Champions League itself. They still have to go play farmers from Uzbekistan or whatever the meme is about Champions League qualification to get in. And I will note that the Welsh First Division is a semi-pro league. So the teams are semi-pro. And actually, Wrexham is kind of newly semi-pro. They've signed their first semi-pro contract in 2023. So they were a fully amateur team. A lot of teams, if they're especially women's teams, it'll be like a local college and it'll be all of the college players. I know that Nottingham Forest, when they were fully amateur as a women's team, it was like literally the whole Trent University women's team was also Nottingham Forest women's. So I think that might be the position Wrexham is in. I didn't see if they were all from a similar school, but like they're college age players. But now they're moving up to getting semi-pro players. And semi-pro means that you are paid for the time that you play for the team, a shortened season usually, and then the other half of the year you don't get a salary and you have to have another job. I believe Wrexham's best player is in sales, is in high level sales, and she's an influencer of some sort. I think that's part of Wrexham's, you know, the marketing that they've been doing, and they're on TV and stuff. I think they've roped the women's team into that a little bit, which is a good thing. I mean, we can joke about like money in football, but it seems like the ownership of Wrexham has done a good job truly tying into the community there and building it up instead of just throwing a ton of money at it and not really caring about like the city and what the club means to the community. And I think they're doing that on the women's side with this kind of slow build, because you would love to be like, oh, they're like multimillionaires, they can just throw money at a women's team. It's a lot harder than that. And that's how you get teams that ultimately fail, or clubs that close their women's team, Forest, Green Rovers, because you are a little too ambitious and it's not sustainable. So I will break down a little bit of the game. Jacksonville won 5-0. Jacksonville is a fully professional team. Wrexham is a semi-pro team. Not quite a surprise there, unless you were thinking of Wrexham as good, but their women's team is not professional. So I'm not going to say not good. They're just not professional. They're not that caliber of player. Actually, a lot of Jacksonville's goals were just off of set pieces, and they just tended to kind of be taller and score from that. In open play, actually, I would say Wrexham was pretty good at tracking back. They were good at getting coverage. It was really just like individual mistakes, one player getting turned around that led a Jacksonville player free, and then they would score. So 5-0 was not as dominant as it kind of sounds. It was 3-0 in the first half, and they scored two in the second. I think Wrexham played a lot better in the second half. And I also think it was like a rotating friendly, so they could like bring subs off and bring them back on too. So I think the rosters rotated, and I think in the second half, Wrexham was playing a little bit more of their starting roster. And they looked okay. I mean, they lost, but they weren't expected to win. So it was a pretty entertaining game. Wrexham streamed it on YouTube. I watched almost all of it. But yeah, it was just fun to see. And the Wrexham commentator had so much love for Sporting Jacks, which I hated to hear it, but I'm also happy for them. He was talking about how good they look, which we know. They were fantastic in the Super League this year. They're a really good team. So I know that. But he was glazing them a lot, and it's kind of funny. And he was really happy with how Wrexham performed as well, considering the circumstances. I mean, they were getting dominated, but in the individual moments, he saw some glints. And he seemed like he had a lot of experience. I think I read an article that he's been with the club for like 30 years. He's been their commentator on the men's and women's side. So yeah, he knows his stuff. And so it's cool to hear that from an old time British ball knower. So yeah, they Wrexham was kind of using this match to tune up for the Champions League. And Jacksonville is the type of competition, if they make it into the Champions League, that they would be facing from basically anyone outside of England or Spain, because those teams are insanely good. But the rest of Europe is a quality professional level. So, yeah, that was really interesting. I didn't know they were over there. I didn't see what other teams they played. I could have looked into it and written down more, but and I was doing other stuff, but it was cool.
Did they play more than one?
Yeah, they had three friendlies against teams. But I think Wrexham like streams all their stuff, and so I think that was like way more accessible. I don't think the other games were like streamed or covered really, outside of just maybe like a tweet about it, which I wouldn't have seen because I don't get that in my algorithm. But I think they had other friendlies, and they were training at.
They did. They didn't post.
They were training at an English club's training ground. That's like a city, and their color is red, and I don't remember what it is. But if you see it, you can tell me. But yeah, they're training somewhere in England too. So I hope they had a good offseason. I don't know if they're back, but that's kind of a fun idea to send a team abroad. And, you know, if they can get some tuna matches or scrimmages, why not? Liz, we have a scrimmage. We didn't mention it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the details?
All right, we do have one teeny tiny dribble of news, and it's that we, if you are a season ticket holder, you should have heard from your ticket rep by now, and if you haven't, you should go bug them. There will be a scrimmage against USF on August 1st. Second?
I'm pretty sure it's the second.
No, it's August 1st.
It is August 1st. You're right. Right.
Yeah, no, because I can't go. I was wait, is it the second? That would be so worried.
Yeah, I also will not be able to make it. So look, if you're, you know, looking to get your RBLR correspondent chops, write us a nice little report and we'll bring you on the show. You can talk about it.
Yeah, no, for realsies. If you happen to attend, please take some notes. Let us know.
Because God knows the team will not.
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, they just won't tell us. No, I was saying they won't tell us.
Yeah.
But yes, also. The final thing I want to leave you with is some cope. I did it last episode. I'm doing it again. We'd love to cope. So I was exploring the Opta rankings more. Now, we talked last time about why we might want to sign players from the A-League, because the A-League is, in the Opta rankings, a better league than we are. They're also the top division in Australia. They have no competition. If you want the best level of women's football in Australia, you go to the A-League. That is not the case here for the USL Super League. So I want to contextualize some of our Opta rankings so that way we can feel a little bit better about ourselves, because it hurt my feelings a little bit to think that our team, our league and our team last year is so bad. So here is the context for you. In terms of leagues, USL Super League is 38th currently in the Opta rankings. The A League is 17th. They have a separate, by the way, they have a separate league ranking and a team ranking. So the league ranking is the average of the teams. A League in Australia is 17th. The Northern Super League in Canada is 14th. NWSL is second. The Women's Super League in England is first. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think Spain is third. So that makes a lot of sense. Those are the most competitive women's international teams. Those are probably the most competitive women's countries in the world of women's international football. So I think that we might be looking at it the wrong way. We are first division, but we are not a first division, because there is another first division that has existed longer than us, and that's NWSL. And also in the United States, we have college soccer too. And so our professionals do not go professional until they're like 21 or 22. The average age of the Super League is 25, and only 6% approximately of players in the Super League last year were teenagers. So that is some context that I'm giving you, is that when we look at our league compared to many of these other countries, like the Northern Super League, like the A-League, I would love to be up there with them. Top 20, top 15. That's like what would feel right. But we lose our youngest players that other countries have access to because of college, and our most skilled players because they can easily play in the NWSL if they're better than the Super League standard. So I think that the more fair comparison would be to compare us to leagues that are second divisions in these other countries, because that is the caliber of player we can get, is players that aren't in the first division. We are a first division, but we know how the rosters actually pan out. It goes that way. So here is my more contextualized Opta analysis here. There are only 7 countries that have a second division that's higher than ours. And that's England, Spain, the reigning World Cup champions, Germany, Mexico, which is a U19 league, and we have college, so we can't have a U19 league, and France. Brazil has 5 leagues that are ranked above ours, but that's because they have one national league and they have state leagues, and so they're regional. But 4 of Brazil's states' leagues are ranked above the USL Super League. So these are the usual suspects: Germany, Brazil, France, Spain, England. These are footballing nations through and through. They're all places that have extremely developed men's leagues and sides, and those leagues and sides can create women's sides now that women's football is growing in popularity. So if you look at it in the context of second divisions, we could be higher, absolutely, but we're really only like the seventh second division in the world behind really, really great footballing nations. And the reason why we haven't moved up that ranking a little bit more is because one of them, Mexico, is literally a U19 league. That's NCAA for us. Those players are not accessible to us. And I think that's really why we rank so low, is because those players, the youngest players, aren't accessible to us. And if Opta ranked NCAA, I think we would see some of the top Big Ten, SEC, like we would see some of the top women's football conferences, women's soccer conferences, would be in the top 50, top maybe even top 30 of the Opta leagues in the world. Because I think it's possible that they are higher quality than, for example, a random European country or a random Asian country's league. So we miss out on those players because they're in college still and they have a scholarship. Why would they give that up? Why would they go to be professional where they barely make enough money to live when they could go to school on the scholarship? And then anyone who's really good is going to go to NWSL. So that's my cope I have for you. We're really, for a second division, if we're going to be real about it, and we are a second division, then we're really only behind the giants, you know, the England, Spain, Germany, France, Brazil. But I also think we can do better. And I think if our entire league rises to the quality that Lexington, Jacksonville, and Carolina has kind of had us at, Carolina both seasons, but definitely Jacksonville and Lexington in this past season, I think even without us like doing anything crazy, without the schedule shift, I think we could jump up a few spots because we're very close in around. I think like the Turkish league is right next to us on the same amount of like Opta ranking points. So I think once our season starts, if the other teams have improved, like if like we were the basement dwellers, us and Unite and Fort Lauderdale United were like basement dwellers. If we take like the lowest teams and we improve, then I think we'll move up a little in the rankings. But yes, I was looking at it and I'm like, why am I comparing us to other first divisions when they have, you know, NSL, Canada has a great women's national team. So it makes sense that their first division gets all the access to all the players, highest quality Canadian players, is going to be good. We don't have that same level of access. It's unfortunate. I would love to have Tampa Bay Sun playing in the actual first division, highest level of American women's soccer. But second to that, I'm glad we have a team at all, because NWSL is not expanding as quickly as all the markets demand it. So there's a place for the USL. It's not as good as we want it to be. And then I just wanted to note here at the end that our actual amateur leagues in the US, which is WPSL and the USLW League, they're ranked 133rd and 134th. So they're way down there. Of course, there's other amateur leagues and there's amateur leagues all over the world. So that's like actually leagues with, I mean, some of them are like only a couple levels above pickup players. Some of them are college players playing out of season because they're amateur. Actually, most of those leagues are college players playing out of season. So that's like an actually really low level league in the United States. So we are representing a little bit, but I think in the next couple of years, and we're a brand new league too, so we have some maturing to do anyways. But in the next couple of years, I would love to see us climb to honestly like top 25, I think, is like not unreasonable to ask if like by the end of the 2027 season, if the teams have truly improved after two off seasons. But I don't think we're ever going to be looking at like top 10 until things are radically different. Maybe if the NCAA breaks up like it threatens to do every couple of years and then colleges are pro or something like that. But yeah. Very interesting kind of like thing to look into, and not as bad as I originally thought. I was like, damn, our league is in the dumps, and it's actually not that bad. We're an okay second division, but I think we can do better as like it, with what we have to work with. And I'd love to see that. I'd love to see us climb up those rankings. So that's my Opta cope analysis for you. Also, Opta is like one ranking system. So in another ranking system, we might be a few higher or a few lower. You know, it's just based off of the data that they have available from our teams for this past season. So who knows? But there you go. Filled some time, spoke some truths. Hopefully that puts us a little bit more in context in world football. I've been doing a lot of that this off season, is figuring out where our place is beyond just, I'm happy that Tampa Bay has a professional women's team. It's like, but what does it mean? I'm getting real existential with it. So That's what level of off season we're at. Please announce signings. Please announce a new jersey.
We can't do another filler episode. I think I'll go insane.
I hit all my topics that I had for the off season. So
yeah, we're approaching Liz talks about Taylor Swift for 45 minutes territory.
Please announce. Just say. I did. I will say I sent out a tweet and it was like, when are we getting signings, a jersey announcement, or new merch? And then the team was like, all of it. And then I was like, when? And that was like 3 days ago. So
yeah, we also bugged them today. We gave them a red card for not announcing anything for a whole week.
I'm pretty sure admin does not log in on Mondays or Tuesdays. I'm pretty sure admin's job starts on Wednesday. I don't know. Maybe they work the weekend. So maybe Monday and Tuesday is their weekend, but you know, give us something, please.
Please.
I mean, there will be other signings in the league. We'll have information about the international teams and we'll have information from the scrimmage. I don't know. Maybe we'll
is that what you're going to do to us on admin? You're going to make us cover other teams.
That's crazy.
Terrible.
That's crazy. No, we got to have something happen in the next week. But yes, if you are going to the scrimmage on August 1st, let us know and we'll, you know, thank you kindly for any reporting you can do.
I probably can give you a sticker.
You can use our code to get a discount on the RBLR shop, which anyone can use, but also you can use it too.
Yes, use code HEATWAVE for 10% off everything at shop.rblrsports.com.
There we go. I'm getting this plug-in thing. I'm figuring it out.
Oh, yeah. And make sure you're watching us on YouTube and you're subscribed and you liked the video and you left a comment about how much you love us. And you can do that on YouTube where you can see our beautiful faces at RBLR Sports. And then at RBLR Sun for all your other Sun news, wild speculations, memes, making fun of the team. If you're following them on Twitter, if you're following RBLR Sun on Twitter, you saw the red card meme that we put out today.
Yes.
Yesterday when this airs.
And we don't have to talk about the team's original red card meme. All the talking that was needed happened in the Heatwave Discord yesterday.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
And we don't have to say anything about it.
Nope. Nothing else. Not a word. I'm Lizzie the Lion on Blue Sky. He's Mom Says I'm Ultra on Twitter. You can find us at respective places. Yeah, that wraps it up. For the love of God, announce something. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.